Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Farming News podcast. I'll be your host, Rachel Donovan, news correspondent here at the Irish Farmers Journal. And this week, I'm joined on the line by our market specialist, Phelim O'Neill, and news correspondents Declan O'Brien and Anne O'Donoghue. Phelim, I'll come to you first. You have the big story on the front of this week's paper about a beef factory price gap of €225 a head. You delved into the best and worst paying factories. And if there's anything farmers want to know, it's where they can get the best value. What exactly did you find?
If I might just, Rachel, go into the background of it a little bit, how we work out these figures and where how we arrive at these numbers. Readers of the Farmers Journal know that every week in life we carry the prices that were paid by factories the previous week in our Business of Farming pages. And at the end of each year now, we get together all of those, we get the average, and we work out from that then that over the 52 or the 53 weeks, whatever the number of weeks prices were reported, we work out the average of the highest and the lowest. We list those for 16 different grades. We take four grades of steers, U equals 3 equals, R equals 3 equals, O equals 3 equals, and P plus 3 equals. And we do those same grades across heifers, young bulls, and cows as well. So that gives us a mix of virtually all the types of cattle that are processed in Irish factories and supplied by Irish farmers. And if we looked at those then, and just in terms of where the biggest gaps are, the 225 was on a R equals 3 equals cow, which is a really good suckler quality cow. So if a farmer sold that, for example, in the factory that's at the bottom of the league or at the lower end of the league, they're going to be over €200 a head worse off. So that's why it's so important that on a weekly basis, farmers that are killing cattle and taking cattle to the factory, maybe not so much farmers that are doing it every week or doing it very regularly, they will be familiar with who pays what's where, or they have an agent advising them. But if they're just speculatively dropping off cattle at the local factory, well, they could be putting the cattle into a factory that has very little interest in buying those, because that's how factories, even within the big groups, they decide, like for example within ABP, they want the cows to go to a particular factory, they might want to concentrate in young bulls in another, and the prices are paid accordingly. And that's where farmers, I think I've used it in the text to describe it, farmers can make a fortune or lose a fortune on an animal, and that's irrespective of where the market price is at any moment in time.
And you're right as well, Phelim, that smaller independent factories paid more for cows, and the likes of ABP, Dawn, Keepac paid more for, I suppose, prime cattle. Why is that?
That's true, and it's something again that it's only when you take a detailed look at the factory leagues, as we do in the Farmers Journal every year, that you kind of get this trend. Now, of course, again, people that's familiar with the trade, and there's people around the mark rings every week in life, will be able to tell you such and such a factory were very fit for cows today, and others. But I suppose you look at the customer profile. You know, if you look at the Dawns, the Keepacs, and indeed ABP, of course, the group of the biggest number of factories in Ireland, then you know they have made major supermarket contracts, each of those. That's primarily for prime beef cattle. So they're therefore going to be focused on buying those type. They're their priority. If you look at the smaller independent groups, the ones in, a lot of those would have a very strong mix of continental European business, and there they will have good customers for high quality cow beef, because believe it or not, in some parts of mainland Europe, there's a greater interest and a greater preference, if you like, for cow more mature beef than there is for young beef, and therefore they are out paying premium in those categories. So as I say, it's a case of looking at the tables, just seeing where the factory is that you're most inclined to take your cattle to, where they rank in those tables. And look, there are things as well that come into play. Of course, if you have one or two cattle, you don't want to maybe drive from Cork to Donegal just because Donegal happens to be paying the best price, because it's not economic to do so. But I think it's the information that's useful to know, even in the negotiation, even if you're not going to drive with that animal to Donegal, it's no harm to know what price has been paid in Donegal so that you can use it in your negotiation. And that's how we would suggest that the factory leagues are best used by farmers.
100%. Thanks so much, Phelim. And I know you're right there as well about some positivity on the horizon for beef prices too in 2024 as supplies tighten. So
yeah, that's a bit of feedback from the Board BIA meat seminar last Friday, where they would have looked at, again, tightening of numbers is likely to underpin beef prices, certainly in the earlier part of this year anyway. There's also a scarcity in the UK, so whatever about the longer term, certainly, and again, this week we've seen very strong beef prices, so I suppose we'll be hoping long may that continue.
Brilliant, thanks a million. Declan, we'll move on to you now. Talk to me about calf slaughter. Are Bord BIA planning on red flagging some farms this year?
Yeah, Bord BIA, we contacted Bord BIA last week regarding their plans. Close on 31,000 young calves were slaughtered last year, and it's now part of quality assurance, the ESTA scheme that Bord BIA have, that they're going to try and cut this number and kind of cut out the practice altogether. Now, they said that they've now got access to department data through the AIMS system. So they're going to red flag the farms that are showing up that slaughtered these calves or culled these calves last year and the year before, and that they will be in line for, I don't know what you'd call it, special treatment, but definitely there will be a focus on them. And that's going to kind of ramp up the pressure officially from Bord BIA. It's going to also ramp up, the pressure is also being ramped up by the processors, who are saying to these milk suppliers, well, if you don't hold the line here and you lose your certification under ESTAS, you're out the gap. Now, that's not to say that there's going to be no culling of calves this year, because really, it's a three-card trick in some ways. The guidelines, as they're set out, state that if you cull calves this spring, they're going to come to you, do an audit, and say to you, okay, you cull calves, so to get back in line, you've got to do a calf management strategy or plan for the coming year. So you can cull the calves this year, do your calf strategy plan, and next year, that's when the real rubber will hit the road, because what are the processors going to do, and what is Bord BIA going to do if you're out of line next year? And we all know that the dairy processors are now, they don't want to be losing suppliers. So that's when the real pressure will come on this. But I think that the processors are saying, well, if you're not ESTAS compliant next spring, then you will be gone. So the interesting thing this year will be how many calves will be culled. As I said, 31,000 were culled last year. Will the same number be culled this year? Will farmers take this as a year to get their house in order? And will Bord BIA and the processors, they'll dish out yellow calves this year, but will they dish out red calves in 2025? That'll be the big question.
Yes, I suppose it's almost like a warning, Dick. There's no repercussions laid out as of yet, but it will be down the line, I suppose. And like, how many calves is too many calves? Is there any number on you know, what farmers should, they should be abiding by?
Well, I think the setup is that you can't cull calves under 8 weeks of age, and that if they have a setup to carry them to 8 weeks of age, then they'd be better off letting them off in the mouth. So I suppose what you do with Jersey bull calves is going to be the big question. But with sick semen, you might be able to take those out of it or take the bulk of them out of it. I would say, look, at as the perception of culling calves is not good, and the optics around it are not good for Borbia and for the industry. They'll want to eradicate the practice, but you need outlets for these calves, and they're going to be under pressure on the outlet side because there's a clampdown coming, as well as we know on the live export. So it's just trying to get the house in order and battle on this down going forward, for that terrible term. When you see beef farmers coming back and saying to Tagusk and saying to the government, fine, your tin point plan on raising dairy calves to beef is great, but what's the margin on them at the end of the day? And that is those are the pressures. But I suppose what they're trying to do is offset those pressures and clean up the image of the industry, I suppose.
Yeah, and I suppose the increased use of sex semen, as you said, Dec, will definitely play a big part in this. And you'd imagine every year it's getting higher and higher how many cows are bred to using sex semen straws, and should reduce, I suppose, a lot of the excess calves there on farms. And I suppose the big issue a lot of the time is space. There just isn't that space for them.
And labour.
Exactly. Yeah, and we'll touch on Anne later on. She has a piece there on labour, which is an issue every year, and it's particularly, she has a lovely piece there where demand is fierce, I think she describes it, for labour on dairy farms this spring. But I want to move on now, Dec, to your other story there on page 5. You talk about price disparities between Northern Milk, and I think Tierlan is the processor in question. What's the story there?
Well, what Tierlan are playing at the moment to the northern and southern suppliers, there's a 2 cent gap per litre on supplies going in the north versus supplies being delivered down south. So for December milk in the south, they were paying an all-in price. This is bonuses, all the bonuses thrown in. Tierlan paid 38.24 in the south. In the north, they paid 34.4 pence, which converts to a VAT exclusive price of 40.25 cents a litre. So that's a 2 cent difference there. Now Tierlan came back to us and they said, well, really, you shouldn't be doing the comparisons on milk volumes. Really, the comparisons should be made on milk solids, and that if you took it on milk solids, the difference would only be 0.15 cents a kilo. Now, whether that is right or that is wrong, it would take a dairy processing specialist to work that one out. But definitely, I think for their suppliers, there will be questions asked. You know, in the north now, Tierlan is viewed as one of the better paying suppliers or processors. It doubled its winter milk bonus before Christmas from 1.5 pence per litre to 3 pence a litre, and I think that could have fed into this difference emerging between the north and the south. But funnily enough, the other big supplier or processor that works on either side of the border, Lakelands, they are paying they're paying 33.25 pence a litre up north, which converts to 38.9 cents a litre. And that's below the level that they're paying in the south, which is 40.22 cents a litre. So how that fares, I don't know.
Big differences there, yeah, definitely. Mm. Interesting story, Declan. Thanks for those bits. And I'm going to move on to you now. And we touched on it there about the labour demand. It's an issue every year. You were talking to Martin Burke from the FRS. What's he saying?
Yes, Rachel, even as Declan touched on it there, labour is an issue that all farmers are aware of, and they know how difficult it is to get labour at the moment. But again, that pressure comes on extra in the spring when calving kicks off and all the rest. So I did a ring round of a couple of the FRS offices just to see what the lay of the land was like in different areas of the country. Martin Burke in South Tipperary FRS made a very interesting point. As usual, he described demand as being fierce this year again, but we're seeing a new trend in that farmers are keeping workers on year round, so they won't be left without. So that's quite an interesting trend that's emerging. Normally, he was saying that you'd have workers or operatives in the first couple of weeks of January that would be traditionally at a loose end, and then things would kick off at this time, but you're not seeing that anymore. Farmers are making sure that they have work for people so that they're not left without. Moving on then into Kerry, similar, very strong demand report there in the FRS office. They said it's getting harder and harder to get labour. Then Cavan FRS, which takes in a huge area, Rachel, from Monaghan to Meath, Louth, Longford, Westmeath, North Dublin and Kildare, they would see 90% of their demand on dairy farms, and then they would have a couple of lambing jobs also. But again, strong demand there, and just they were making the point that, you know, fierce demand, but you also have to make sure that you get the right match between farmer and worker and make sure that everyone is aligned. So lots of work ahead for the FRS. Lots of work done and lots of work ahead from the spring.
Yeah, and you know, labour is one of the biggest costs on dairy farms, let alone having to pay them when I suppose you don't really need them, you know, but that's the lengths they're willing to go to in order to keep workers, paying them, I suppose, in the lull periods or during the summer during the quieter times, I suppose, when there's not in the depths of calving and when you really do need them. And you have a story on page 15. Tell us about this Munster Dairy Producer Organisation. I think it's comprised of Kerry Milk Suppliers. Who are they? What's the story there?
So as you said, Rachel, they're suppliers to Kerry Group. So I feel like Producer Organisation, PO as it's being called, is one of the acronyms of the week that keeps coming up for me. But as you said, the Munster Dairy Producer Organisation is made up currently of suppliers to Kerry Group that want to join a producer organisation. Under EU law, that you can apply for producer organisation status. And this group, MDPO, another acronym, is currently waiting for official recognition from the Department of Agriculture for their PO status. They held a meeting last Thursday, the 18th of January, on Zoom, and they outlined there that they're waiting for their official recognition from the Department of Agriculture, and when they receive that, they will open to members on a form and a website. So once they have a membership, they will then start to look to negotiate with processors about where their milk is going to go in the future. These suppliers to Kerry are in contract with Kerry Group until April 26th, but they're not tied in beyond that point. So I suppose they're looking to that period at the moment. Interestingly, the meeting had over 200 attendees. It kind of peaked around 210, but there was a solid 180 people on that Zoom meeting for 2 hours.
Lots of interest, though.
Yeah, so that would give you an indication of the interest of these people. Kieran Dolan, he's an approved PO facilitator and a barrister. He applied to the Department of Agriculture on behalf of this group, and he said that he expects that they would get that official recognition from the department with very shortly. You know, he's expecting it this week. And interestingly, it was said on the meeting as well, it was asked, question was asked, had they had any discussions with processors or had they been approached by processors? And the group said there had been soundings. They said, again, that they won't do anything else until they have an official membership, but that there have been soundings from processors. Then separately, again, on the PO side of things, there was another group were granted recognition by the Department of Agriculture on Tuesday, and that's the Irish Organic Milk Suppliers Co-op. They got official PO recognition from the department, so they are the first dairy producer organisation to get that recognition. So it's all will be interesting ahead, Rachel, to watch how it all unfolds.
And your headline there, and You can curse the dark or turn on the light. What's that referring to?
Yes, Rachel. So this MDPO, the Munster Dairy Producers Organisation, they have currently got a steering committee of 21 farmers. They're all current suppliers to Kerry Group. They're from Kerry, Limerick and Clare. And I spoke to some of them, just getting an idea of their feeling and getting them to explain, you know, why they're giving their support to their group. And it was Rosalind O'Reilly from Clare who said that. And when she was speaking to me, she was explaining kind of the why they've set up this group and that they have frustrations with Kerry Group down to the years, which a lot of people listening to this podcast will be aware of. And she spoke of those frustrations around milk price, etc., that they've had. And she said, you know, she felt that she was so frustrated and getting so annoyed with this that, you know, you can keep cursing the dark or turn on the light. And I think that was kind of reflective of how this group feels. It's kind of a proactive step. They want to take a proactive step, I suppose. And then if you move to kind of what Kieran Clifford from County Kerry said, his two things were better milk price and better milk conditions. That's what they're looking for. So those quotes in full are there on page 15.
Excellent, Anne. Thanks a million. And that's it for today, folks. We've come to the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Anne, Declan and Phelim who joined me today, and thanks as always to the production team who are behind the scenes doing all the hard work editing. Thanks a million, folks, and we'll talk to you the next day.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis.
I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.